You're so worthy. Just to see you, Lord. Yeah. We hold you as King, Lord. Glory, Lord. I'm going to be where you are, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm going to be where you are in my spirit. I'm going to be where you are in my faith. I'm going to be where you are in how I think, Lord. How I act. I'm going to be where you are, Lord. When I see where you are, Lord, that's where I want to be. Glory. Yes, I want to be. Hallelujah. I want to be where you are.
Principles. We're not talking about principles that determine whether you go to heaven or not. We're talking about principles that allow you to change on earth so you can have victory here. We did not go through hell, get saved, to have defeat here and have to wait to get to heaven to have some glory.
Yeah.
So these changes, you have to remember, are for those of you that want victory in your life now while you're on earth. You apply these changes, we can get victory.
Yeah.
All right. Acts chapter 9, and Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Paul, Saul, Paul, he was trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The Lord spoke to me right there and said, if you want victory in your life, just ask him what you should be doing. In verse 7, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He couldn't see. But they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your anointing. I ask that your spirit continue to be strong in this house, Lord. Gird me up in my body, Lord, as my body is weak, but my spirit, oh, is so strong, Lord. And I know from your womb, I'll be able to preach the word effectively and powerful as you see fit for change for our lives. Now prepare us, Lord. Keep us reminded that this is for change and victory in our life. And be glorified tonight in our hearts. Not in the service, not what we do together, but individually in our hearts, be glorified in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. The third change is obedience in a blind state. Obedience in a blind state. Glory. Down in the sound, it's going to be a fun message. Obedience in a blind state. Let's look at Paul's story. I'm going to say Paul. Scripture read Saul. It's all turned into Paul. So I'm going to say Paul out of convenience instead of saying Saul, who was turned into Paul. We okay with that?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say Paul. Now, if we look at Paul, in Proverbs 14:12, now I'm going to be really, I'm not going to be that long, I'm going to be really short to the point of a lot of things. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but that way is unto death. Proverbs 14:12. It's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but that way leads to death. Now, if you understand Paul, he was going around killing Christians. Now, you know that way had to seem very right to him to go around killing Christians with no conviction, and he really felt he was doing the right thing. So we understand it, right? I need everyone here to drop the pride characteristic and understand there are things that you are doing in your life that seems right. And it seems justified, but it is oh so wrong. One of the biggest struggles for us as Christians, the more mature we get in God, actually the more prideful Christians get. If you don't believe me, just go to a church and just sit. And you will see pride and the spirit of pride roaming through a lot of our churches. The more mature we get in God, for some reason, the more prideful we get, and we just know we got it right. So I need you to understand that. Now, being obedient in a blind state. In order to change Paul, God had to blind him and then guide him. Blind him and then guide him. God will blind you naturally so he can lead you spiritually. He will blind you naturally. There is no climax. I'm not building up to nothing. I can't straight out the gate shooting, and I'm shooting to the end. He will blind you naturally in order to guide you spiritually. This is what he will do. Now, Paul's obedience in his blind state, he was blind, and God told him to go. And God actually, if you read a little bit further down, God sent him to, I believe it was Ananias. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, Ananias. He sent him to Ananias. But Paul was blind at the time. Now you have to understand, this is a man that had his sight, doing everything he wanted to do. He was feared by all Christians. He was blind at the time, and God gave him a spiritual vision of where to go. If you're catching what I'm saying, he had to blind him naturally in order to get him to follow the spiritual place on where to go. Now, him going to the place spiritually and following what God said, he was blinded and he was obedient. The change that we're working on in the principle is obedience in a blind state. He was blinded, but he was obedient. His obedience led to him following God spiritually and being healed. He went to Ananias, Ananias laid his hand on him, the scales off his eyes came off, he could see, got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now his life is completely changed. But God had to blind him naturally for this to take place. Had to blind him naturally. most of us as Christians, most of us have, all of us have, some of us dream. I know some dreamers in here. Some of us have visions. All of us have been spoken to by God, and in our insides, we know God is saying something to us spiritually, but we're so focused on what's going on naturally, we can only pay with so much attention. You see what I'm saying? We're so focused. So it's key to understand that. That's why so many Christians, if you just pay attention to the circle that we all talk in, because all of us pretty much sitting here talking. We all connected, talking to everybody. If you pay attention to the circle, so many times, what are we saying? Let me see. We begin the circle. Pastor Anna was sitting there, and she said, "This is just so strange. I don't understand." Some, you know, I went to the emergency room last night, and she was thinking about it. She's like, "This is just so strange. I don't even understand this." And so many people, "I don't understand my finances. What's going to happen with my finances, or what's going to happen with my health?" God keeps you in a blinded state and doesn't reveal the truth to you because he wants to keep you blind, because when you're blind naturally, you pay more attention spiritually.
Yes.
Blind naturally, you pay more attention spiritually. And so many Christians is like, "I want to see naturally." And you can't obey spiritually. And you and God will stay in this tug of war forever. And it took me to a place where I realized, God, I'm going to stop trying to see in the natural eye, because obviously, you don't want me to.
Right.
So I'm going to accept the fact that in a lot of situations in my life right now, I don't know the outcome. I don't know what's going on. And for a lot of stuff, I don't understand. It don't make no sense. And I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Paul didn't like being blinded with scales on his eyes and could not see. But we can't spend time arguing with a God that if he wanted you to see naturally, he wanted revelation to give it to you, he could give it to you.
Yeah.
He wants you to focus spiritually. Now, it says in verse 9 that he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. Now, this is more of a theological point I just want to make. Because I asked God, what is the purpose of being blind in 3 days? I said, I don't understand the three. Just like some of us don't understand the 8 months, the 2 years, the 5 years that you're blind in some of the things in your life. I know for some things in my life, I can't wait to see naturally because I haven't been able to see in that realm naturally in a long time. But I asked God, what is the purpose of being blind in 3 days? Okay, so we know, number three, divine completion is divine perfection. We know that, right? Divine perfection. But God said it also means resurrection. He said the number three also means resurrection. Now, most theologians believe that we all know it was on the third day that God separated the earth from the water, right? It's on the third day that God separated the earth from the water. It was on the third day that Christ rose. Now, there's two things I want you to catch. The earth, it was something that God had spoken spiritually that he would bring to the natural in 3 days.
Yeah.
You getting me?
Yeah.
So many of us, we're... God said, "I'm going to make you wealthy," and he tells you spiritually, but your bank account look the same, and your job look the same. And God is saying, in your three-day state, I will resurrect you to a place where I will take what I said spiritually and make it natural.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, in Christ, God took something that was what we saw as being dead and resurrected it to life in Christ during the resurrection. There are characteristics in you and gifts in you that may seem dead in the state of blindness. But God said, if you stay obedient in the blind season, I will resurrect all those gifts, all those characteristics that you're looking for if you focus on me spiritually and bring them to life.
Amen.
All right? So I encourage you, be patient in the season. Now, this will be wonderful if we could read this 3 days and apply it right to our life. But God seemed to take a little bit longer with us than 3 days. Some of us been in a blind state for a little bit longer than 3 days. But the key and the principle of being obedient is the same. You with me?
Yeah.
I'm almost done. Hang in there. The time period we go through the blind state is God's purpose because it's what's needed for your life. Stop trying to fight a God that you serve and say has all power and dominion and knows everything, but you're trying to tell him this blind state is too long.
Right.
But he knows, he knows. Now, turn over with me to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 71. We're almost done. Psalms, and when I read this, you're going to realize why I'm almost done. Psalms 119, verse 71. I want you to get there because I want you to read it. Obedience in a blind state. Psalms 119, verse 71. You there?
Yes.
All right. It says, y'all ready?
Yes.
It is... It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, thy way. It is good for me. That don't even sound right. That don't sound proper. That don't sound correct. Now, before you close your Bible, I want you to back up and I want you to read verse 67 because it explains why he said it. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. We are going to finally reach a point that we understand affliction is what keeps us in line.
Yeah.
It's a reason why the Bible said, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now, if God put that in the word, how do you think he's going to raise you? He's not going to spare the rod with you because he don't want a lot of spoiled brat Christians running around. Now, most of us, the difference is our house was only so big. I could only run but so far from my father. Back then, he was very fast and very strong. God is different. If you run from God, he will let you run and stand there with your whooping waiting on you to come back. See, my daddy will catch you. God is too big to be chasing y'all around trying to catch y'all. He'll say, I'll be here when you get back. Because you have to go through the whooping to get to where you need to go. All right, I'll leave y'all alone. Understand, but you have to understand this from a spiritual place. Let's be real. There is no natural place in you that welcomes affliction. And if you are, please see me after service so you can lay your hands on me and I can get what you got. If naturally you look forward to affliction. There is no natural place in us that's like, I can't wait to get whooped. I can't wait to get in trouble. I can't wait for my car to break down or stuff to go wrong or job to be unfair. I can't wait for that. No. But you have to understand it from a spiritual place that affliction draws us closer to God. It keeps us in line with God. God afflicted Paul and blinded him. And it was the most spiritual Paul had ever been in his life. So as God afflicts us and blinds us to the natural things, it will take you to a spiritual place that you have not been, that we need to go to get what we need to get. Now, there's two things I want you to understand with affliction. Two things. Every time I'm afflicted, I have an opportunity to mature in God. Every time I'm afflicted, I have an opportunity to mature in God. If you don't believe me, let's ask my dad. Every time I did something wrong in the house and my father whooped me, it was an opportunity for me to feel the pain and not do it again, which means I matured. Now me, I didn't mature right away. Took a couple whoopings and a couple more and some more, but that's okay. I took a lot. I was just bad. I don't know what was wrong. Whoopings was, oh Lord. But it's the principle that my dad's mindset was me talking. Now, my dad could just tell my sister, I'm disappointed in you. And that's the end of the world. She done fell out. She upset. Her feelings hurt. It feel like somebody beat her to death. I'm like, he said that to me. I'm like, okay, you're disappointed. No big deal. So he understood the type of affliction I needed to grow. He understood the type of affliction I needed to grow. God understands the type of affliction you need to grow. But every time my dad whooped me, it was a chance for me to say, you know what? I don't like that. So I need to mature to this point. And if I didn't mature, what happened? I got whooped again. Now remember, this is spiritual. And I'm not talking about God hurting you. But so many of us are afflicted with life and we just don't understand that it's an opportunity for us to grow in God and mature in God. Now the second point. If there is no affliction, if there's no affliction, there's no battle. If there's no battle, there's no war. If there's no war, I don't have an opportunity for victory. Better yet, and this is the part I need you to catch, if God doesn't allow the enemy to afflict me, there's no battle, there's no war, but also there's no opportunity for the enemy to lose. We spend so much time when we get afflicted, like I can't wait to win, instead of I know the enemy loses. This is another opportunity in your life that God will show up and shut down the enemy. But when you get afflicted in the natural eye, you don't care if the enemy gonna lose. He can lose later. Just get him off of me. That's a lot of our mindsets. Let him know there's a reason why God uses you. Stop running from the spiritual affliction. What did Paul do? He killed Christians. He murdered Christians. He was horrible. Went through a blind state and some affliction, stayed obedient, and when he came out, who was the biggest in the New Testament? Paul was. He had the most impact. So God is afflicting you because you have great impact in the kingdom. There's a lot he needs to do through you, but he needs to get you focused spiritually. And I need to say this, and please catch it. If you don't obey in the blind state, you will stay there. If natural things look sucky and messed up and you don't know how to obey when they are like that, you stay there because God is saying, I see you, my son. I see you, my daughter. I know what's on your life. I need you to get to the spiritual maturity that you have to get to because of the impact you have on the kingdom. You have to understand that and submit to it. All right. Natural, as things go in the natural, so things go in the spiritual. And this is my last point, very short. It's the birthing process. Now, I watch history channels all the time, and I realize that not all the time in history did women who gave birth have epidurals. That wasn't forever. There was times when there was no medicine to give to a woman when she gave birth. We are, and if you remember something, please remember this. This is for a mature bride. There is, in this season in God, no more spiritual epidurals.
Yeah. Yes.
So I need you to catch that. You got to understand the warfare we are in and the season we are in. So if you are pregnant, there was a season that God was giving epidurals and allowing you to give birth. But in this season, if you are pregnant in this season with a gift, with something you need to birth out, you understand because you're in pain. You realize there is no spiritual epidural for the natural birth I'm going through in this spiritual season. So God did lay that upon my heart. You can take it as prophetic. That's how he laid it on my heart. There's no more spiritual epidurals in this season. We are in too crucial of a season to understand that. And then we understand birth. If you don't push through the process, the baby doesn't come out. You have to push. And don't get all intelligent talking about, Lord, I want a C-section. Don't. I can see it on people's face, but I'm going to ask God if I can have a C-section. Forget natural birth. Cut me open. We are in a season where spiritual epidurals and C-sections don't exist for us. We are just in that season that what God wants to birth through us, he needs to come naturally out of us. So for the things that you desire spiritually, for everything that you want, every calling, every fiber of your being that says, Lord, I know you have this for my life, and this for my life, and this for my life, and I know this place I'm in is not what you have for me. You have to stay obedient through the blind state, and you have to push through the process. When you quit, the baby quit coming.
Yeah.
So when you quit pushing, your spiritual blessing is going to stop coming. Yeah. Now, if God got you pushing for 20 minutes or for 20 years, you still have to push.
Yes.
The longer the push, most likely the bigger the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all should have shouted at that. Because y'all that's been pushing for a long time, you should know that means I got something big spiritually coming out of me. And I know for me, I feel like I've been in labor for some years. So I can't wait to see what can come out.
Amen.
Pain of a blind state can be rough. But we have to stay obedient in the blind state. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you and praise you for another principle of staying obedient in a blind state. Lord, we understand some of the things that we're hearing are not easy. They're not just falling in our spirit and tickling us, but they are challenging us to be better. Lord, I want what you have for me spiritually. So I'm going to stay obedient in the blind state. So I love you, Lord. I praise you. We give you honor and glory. We submit to you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Glory.